morning, church. Whether you're watching this on your phone or your tablet or any other electronic device, I want to thank you for tuning in today. And whether you're in your PJs or your house slippers or you're dressed in your Sunday best like me, I'm thankful that we can still unite together as a body of believers and worship the Lord through this live stream service today. Even though this is a bit uncomfortable for me, and I know it's maybe uncomfortable for you, this is a new experience. I believe that God fully will honor this. And in fact, Scripture tells us in Matthew 18:20 that when two or three gather in the name of the Lord, God is with them. So make no mistake about it, church. Sorry about that. We have the audio fixed. But I want to let you know that Scripture tells us in Matthew 18:20 that when two or three gather in the name of the Lord, God is with them. So make no mistake about it. Even though we can't meet in the sanctuary as we are used to doing today, I believe that God is with us now and that He wants to do a great work in us in the coming days. Now, I know that many of you are wondering how long this is going to have to last and how long it'll take for us to meet together as we are used to doing. And the answer to that is, I don't know. The news and information regarding this coronavirus seems to be changing not only daily, but hourly. And so it's impossible to know at this time how we will need to meet in this way. But please know that the deacons and I have been meeting all throughout this week. We've been prayerfully considering how we need to go about functioning at our church. And I just want to say all that to say that please be understanding in all of this. This is such a unique and difficult time, and just be open-minded as we move forward. The deacons and I want you to know, though, that we are doing everything we can to keep everyone safe during this difficult time. But most of all, we want to make sure that we are continuing to minister to all of you, to proclaim the Word of God. And for that, I'm excited about sharing God's Word with you today. So if you have a copy of God's Word this morning, I hope you do. I want to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and as you're turning there, or pulling it up on your digital device, whether you're here or at home, let me just challenge you to do a couple of things. First, even though that you might not be physically gathered with me here today, I want to challenge you to still treat this time with reverence and respect, just as you would if you were in the sanctuary. Whether you embrace this or not, this virtual gathering is an act of worship. And so I just want to prayerfully ask you to consider how you will honor God today. And that leads me to the second challenge that I want to give you as well. Don't just pull this service up on your phone or your tablet or laptop or any other electronic device and have it playing merely as background noise. I just want to challenge you in these next few minutes to refrain from any other activities that you might be doing at home, anything that might distract you. I want to encourage you to gather your family around your house right now as I say these words. And I want to challenge you to intentionally worship with us through the preaching and proclaiming of the Word of God. And please know that I'm not saying that out of pride so that you'll focus your time on me. I'm saying that out of submission and respect to God, to that all of us would be focused on His Word this morning. And lastly, let me just challenge you in this way as well. Let me challenge you not only to listen to this message, but to also interact with the text that God has laid on my heart to preach from today. The Bible tells us, in fact, that in Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. God's Word has the ability to pierce our hearts and our minds. It has the ability to transform our lives and to bring us closer to Him. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I need that more than ever today. You and I find ourselves living in a scary and uncertain time. And now more than ever, I believe that we need to cling to our Lord and Savior. We need to be reminded that our hope and future is not found in this world. It is found only in Him. So would you pray with me as we open and study God's Word today, whether you're here with me now or if you're at home, would you just bow your head and pray with me, asking that God would move in our hearts and lives in a time such as this. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this opportunity. Father, it is certainly a challenging time. It is a unique time. It is an unprecedented time. But Father, would we be focused on You? Will we be focused on your word in these next few minutes, God? Will we be challenged? Will we be encouraged? Will we be blessed, God, by what your word tells us in times of trouble? So, Father, I ask that you would speak through me, and Father, I ask that all those who are listening, God, wherever they may be, God, that they would hear from you, that they wouldn't just hear the words coming out of my mouth, God, but that I would be used as an instrument, Father, for that they could understand you better so that they could draw closer to you. And so, God, I pray that we would humble our hearts and our minds. God, would we be submissive to your spirit wherever we may be, and that we would draw near during this next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as you may have guessed, this is not what I had in mind as your next senior pastor. This is my first sermon as senior pastor, and I had already begun to map out all of my sermon series and what I wanted to do. And just so you know, doing an online sermon series was not something that I had in mind. But thanks be to God, right? Thanks be to God that we have this ability, ability to broadcast this service, and I still get to preach God's word to you today. And for that, I'm grateful. I'll be honest with you, though. I'll be honest. I thought long and hard about what God might call me to preach on today. As you know, Easter is just around the corner, and I've spent the last couple of weeks working on an Easter sermon series for you. I want to prepare our hearts and minds for that joyous day. But after seeking the Lord's counsel in this week, I feel like I need to put that sermon series on hold. And I need to speak to the crisis that our world finds itself in today. Like many of you know, when I first heard about the coronavirus, I didn't know much about it. I was vaguely familiar with what it was, and I understood that there was certain parts of the world that were feeling its effects, but never once did I think that it would personally affect my day-to-day life, but I was wrong. On Thursday, March 12th, while leading the youth mission trip in New Orleans, I was told by my program director that due to the coronavirus, they would be shutting everything down. And so our group packed our bags and we headed back home, but I wasn't too fazed by it. And so the next day I woke up and says, I'm gonna go into the church office. I'm going to begin to make the final preparations for my debut sermon as senior pastor. And I was excited about doing that, But then, as you know, on Saturday, March 14th, our governor declared a state of emergency for Mississippi and encouraged churches to not physically meet. And as you're well aware, the deacons and I had to make the difficult decision to not hold a church service last Sunday. Saddened that we weren't going to have church, I decided that on Sunday that I needed to go up to the sanctuary. I needed to go up to the church. We got the word out to all of our church members. But we wanted to make sure that if we had any guests or anyone who did not get the message, that we could make sure that they knew that we weren't going to meet. And while we only had one person come in that day, I can't tell you how difficult it was for me to tell that person, go home. Our doors are closed. Just go home. We're not able to meet. And I guess that's when it finally hit me. I guess that's when it finally hit me that while this virus has not physically infected me, the enemy has used this virus to infect me with panic, uncertainty, and fear. And if I were to guess, that's where many of you may find yourself today. You may not have this virus. You may not still be very scared of getting it. But if you're like me, what scares you the most about this virus is the repercussions that this virus has in our daily lives. You see, what makes this virus so fearful and deadly for many of us is that it threatens every part of our lives. Physically speaking, of course, it has the power to threaten our health if we were to contract this disease. But financially speaking, it has the power to threaten the world's economy. It has the power to threaten many of our jobs in this community and beyond. Emotionally speaking, this virus has the power to threaten your happiness and well-being. It has the power to steal your joy and replace it with worries and fear. And spiritually speaking, it has the power to threaten your view of God. It has the power to threaten the way that you would depend on Him and that you would lean on Him in times of difficulty and despair. After all, whether it's right or wrong, who couldn't help but wonder why God is letting this happen? Who couldn't help but wonder how this pandemic will affect our jobs, our families, our churches, and the Christian life?
And friends, all of that leads us to fear. It leads us to panic. All of that makes us feel anxious, worried, overwhelmed, not knowing what each day might bring. Now, if you can relate to that any at all, I want you to listen in this morning because this message is directly meant for you. It's meant for you, but know this as well. Know this as well that while I am preaching this message to you, I'm preaching just to myself today. I have also been struggling with these issues of worries, of anxieties and fears. I found myself not being able to sleep well at night, being overrun with the thoughts of what to do in times like this. But this week, God has been doing a great work in my heart. God has been teaching me and reminding me of His provision and providence in times such as these. And I want to share those thoughts with you today. So look with me at our text this morning, which is found in Isaiah chapter 41. And I want us to only look at one verse today, but boy, oh boy, is this one verse packed with such knowledge and wisdom that I think all of us need to hear and be reminded of in times like these. And what I want to do with our time this morning is I want us to read this verse, but then I want us to break it down piece by piece. And then I want to apply it to our lives. So let's read our verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, and then we'll break it down piece by piece. The word of the Lord says this, and Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. And do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." Now, in this verse, we are given two commands by God, and we're given five reasons from God as to why we should obey these two commands. The two commands that God gives us, He says, do not fear and do not be afraid. And let's talk about fear for a moment. Let's talk about fear first. And just so we're all on the same page, the fear mentioned in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, is not the type of fear that you read in other places of Scripture, like Proverbs 1:7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and understanding." That type of fear is a sign of respect, reverence, and submission to God and His divinely inspired Word. That's a healthy kind of fear that I would encourage all of us to cling to in times like these. But the type of fear mentioned in our text this morning, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, that's a different type of fear. And that type of fear is rooted in unbelief. It's an unbelief that God is with you. An unbelief that God will care for you, that He will provide for you in times of difficulty and distress. In the uncertain times that you and I find ourselves in today, this type of fear can lead to us feeling worried. Or, like the second command that God gives us in verse 10, it can lead us to feeling afraid. It can lead us to feeling afraid, which by the way, is that not the message that we see on every news station today? Is that not what every article coming out right now is saying? It's saying, be fearful, be afraid, fend for yourself, go buy all the toilet paper at Walmart, clean it out, do whatever you got to do to ride this out. It's going to get bad, it's going to get worse, get ready. Make no mistake about it, church. Make no mistake about it. There is a panic and uncertainty in the air right now. And it has infected the lives of millions upon millions upon millions of people each and every day. And I'm well aware that I'm talking to people that might have those same fearful thoughts too. Certainly it has for me, but listen to this. Listen to this. The most quoted command in all of Scripture is, do not fear. The most quoted command in all of Scripture is, do not fear. Do not be afraid. And this is exactly what God calls us to do in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 as well. Now, before I move on and we look at this verse some more, let me just say that while believers are called to not be fearful or afraid, I do think we should take every measure to prevent the spread of this virus and be submissive to our governing authorities as well. Listen to what Paul says about this in Romans 13, verses 1 through 2. He says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. Now, it has been made abundantly clear by our president, by our governor, that we need to exercise a level of caution in all of this. And don't miss this. Caution is different than fear. Caution is different than fear. Fear holds us hostage. Fear paralyzes us. Fear makes us not know what to do. But caution, on the other hand, caution says, assess the situation. Or realize there is a level of danger. And maybe you need to make some changes to make sure you're safe. But then go about your way. Listen, Paul explains this best in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," right? Don't be fearful or afraid, "but one of power, love, and," catch this, "sound judgment." Sound judgment. So as believers, God calls us to not be fearful or afraid, but He also calls us to use sound judgment. In other words, you and I shouldn't be paralyzed by the fear that the world would tell us to live in right now. But at the same time, God's Word would also say, exercise a level of caution in this. Use a sound mind that I've given you. So we should use a sound mind by what the governing authorities tell us, by what the experts tell us. And I hope that you know that is the reason why myself and the deacons decided to cancel church service today and do it online only. It was not out of fear or being afraid. It was based on the honor of the request from our governing authorities in using the sound mind to keep everyone safe. So I want you to understand that up front, that being cautious and following the parameters that the governing authorities, they might give us in this time, that's not sinful or wrong. But listen, when we allow this outbreak and pandemic to paralyze us, to cause us to have anxious thoughts of worry and fear, then we have done the very thing that God has called us not to do. We've done the very thing that God's called us not to do. You see, in this text that I've read for you today, God gives us two commands. God says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. But then He goes on to give us five reasons why we should live that out. And I want to share those with you today. And the first one is this. And I want to encourage you to write these down. First one is this. We should not be fearful or afraid because God is with us. We should not be fearful or afraid because God is with us. Look at the text again in verse 10. Verse 10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Do not fear, for I am with you. I am with you. And what that means is that when life is going great, God is with you. But when life is not going great, when life is hard, when life is difficult, when you don't know what to do, when you have anxious thoughts and worries, God is still with you. God is still with you. And I think what we need to be reminded of today, is that God, the creator of the universe, not only is He the creator, but He interacts with His creation. In the opening pages of the Bible, we find God walking with Adam and Eve. And in the closing pages of the Bible, we find God in the New Jerusalem, living with redeemed humanity. In every page in between, we find God interacting with His people and His creation. You see, you and I don't worship a God who is a passive observer of His creation. You and I worship a God who is an active participant in His affairs, guiding and directing according to His divine purposes. After all, was it not God? Was it not God who was with Noah as he built the ark in the desert? Was it not God who was with Moses as he led the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land? Was it not God who was with David as he slayed Goliath? Was it not God who was with Jonah as he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days? Was it not God who was with Joseph as he was sold into slavery? Was it not God who was with Nehemiah as he built the walls around Jerusalem? Was it not God who was with the disciples as they left their homes to go out and preach the good news? Was it not God who was with Paul as he went out to be a missionary, church planner, and teacher of Christ? The Creator has always been with His creation. It's always been with His creation. And even though our world may be filled with chaos and confusion right now, God is still with us. He is still with us. He is our Heavenly Father. And His Word tells us that He will never leave us or forsake us. Furthermore, God has given us His Son, Emmanuel. You want to know what Emmanuel means? It literally means God with us. He dwelt among us. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He defeated the grave on our behalf. His name is Jesus. And He has given us the power of everlasting life. His Spirit is with us right now as I speak these words. So you and I do not have to be fearful or afraid right now, because first, God is with us. God is with us. But secondly, we don't have to be fearful or afraid because God is for us. God is for us. Look at the text again in Isaiah 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. Notice the verses leading up to verse 10. We see God demonstrating His power and authority over His creation. Look with me beginning in verse 1. It says, "Be silent before me, coasts and islands, and let peoples renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them testify. Let's come together for this trial. Who has stirred up someone from the east in righteousness? He calls him to serve. The Lord hands nations over to him, and he subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his word, like wind-driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them going on safely, hardly touching the path with his feet. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord, the first and with the last. I am He." I am He. Do you see the power and the authority that God is demonstrating here? God is saying, I am the Creator. I am the Judge. I am in control. No one can contest me. And friends, don't you think that this kind of power and authority over the world, that He would still be on His throne today? Even though this virus and outbreak has the world on the ropes, do you think God has even flinched? Do you think God has even flinched? Of course not. God is sovereign. He created all things. He is over all things, and He is still on His throne today. But watch this. Watch this. Because while God is sovereign, while God still is on His throne, while God still has all this power and authority, the text tells us that we are His people. We are His people. Look with me beginning in verse 8. "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, I brought you from the ends of the earth and called you from its farther corners. I said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I have rejected you. Therefore," verse 10, "do not fear." Do you see it? "Therefore, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, because I am your God." God chose the nation of Israel as His people. And even though they had a lot of difficulties in those times as well, God says, do not fear, do not be afraid, because the God of the universe, the God with all power and authority, is with them. He is that God. And listen, church, listen to this. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we became a part of that family too. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we became a part of the family of God as well. Therefore, this verse applies to us. We do not have to be fearful. We do not have to be afraid, because not only do we serve a God who is with us, we serve a God who is for us. Through the blood of Christ, He has adopted us into His family. He is our Heavenly Father, and He is more powerful than the coronavirus or anything else that this world might bring our way. And when we remember these things, we can have peace, friends. We can have peace even in the midst of the storm. You and I, we don't have to be fearful or afraid right now. God is with us. God is for us. But thirdly, God will strengthen us in times such as these. God will strengthen us. Look at our text, verse 10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Now notice the wording there. Notice the wording. It doesn't say, "Do not fear, for the government is with you." He doesn't say, do not be afraid, for wealth, power, social status is your God. No, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. So who will strengthen you in a time like this? Social media? No. Our government? No. Our nation? No. Our world? No. Isaiah 41:10 tells us that we don't have to be fearful or afraid because God will strengthen us. He alone will equip us in times such as these. Let me explain it to you in another way. Look at the chapter right before this one. I know you're in chapter 41, but flip over to chapter 40 in Isaiah. Flip over there in chapter 40, and let's read together beginning in verse 28. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to His understanding. In other words, even though you may be growing faint or weary right now because of where our world is, God doesn't. Even though you may be fearful or afraid right now with what our world is being faced with, God is not. And as Isaiah 41 reminds us that God is with us and that God is for us, he also goes on to remind us that God will strengthen us during these difficult times. I keep looking at chapter 40 and see what Isaiah says beginning in verse 29. He says, he gives strength to the weak and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. What a beautiful passage of Scripture that all of us should cling to in times of uncertainty like these. But notice, too, who God gives strength to in this passage. Who does God give strength to in this passage? Verse 29 says that God promises to give strength to the weak and powerless. He gives strength to the weak and powerless. So if he gives strength to the weak and the powerless, who then does God not give strength to? The prideful and arrogant. And what that means is that while God doesn't want you to be fearful and afraid right now, he wants you to understand that based on your own strength and ability to ride this out, you will fail. You do not have what it takes to have a sense of calmness and peaceness right now. You don't have what it takes to persevere in these times. Based on your own determination and self-will, you will grow faint and grow weary. Based on your own power, you will stumble and fall. But I got good news. I got good news because what the Bible tells us that when we become weak, God makes us strong. When you and I become weak and powerless, God gives us strength. But we must seek that out with a humble heart and mind. We must be submissive to Him, seeking out God's strength through prayer. Listen to what 2 Chronicles 7:13-14 says about this. He says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You and I are promised God's strength when we humble ourselves before God. We are promised His strength when we pray and seek His face. And it is my hope and prayer that we turn to Him in times of trouble before anyone else. Even though our world feels like it's being turned upside down right now, even though we are living in uncertain days, even though we experience all these anxious thoughts and worries, you and I do not have to be fearful or afraid because God is with us. God is for us. He will strengthen us. And fourthly, He will help us. He will help us. Look at our text, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will help you. You know, in times like these, wouldn't it just be nice for Jesus to come down from heaven and just walk alongside of us and guide and direct our lives? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice for him just to be with us right now? We could just, he could alleviate all our worries and fears. I don't know about you, but for much of my life, I've always kind of envied the people of the Bible. In particular, I've always sort of envied the disciples. I mean, wouldn't it have been nice to have rubbed shoulders with Jesus? Wouldn't it have been nice to see him perform miracle after miracle? Wouldn't it have been nice to just sit underneath his leadership and his teachings? And for much of my life, I've always told myself that if I could have been one of his disciples, if I could have seen those things and experienced those great miracles, then my faith would be strengthened and I would be able to live fearlessly for him. And perhaps now, in this uncertainty that you and I find ourselves living in today, we wish that Jesus would just come down from heaven and help us out and calm our worries and fears. But listen to what Jesus himself said. Listen to what Jesus himself said in John chapter 16 as he was preparing to ascend back into heaven after he resurrected from the grave. John 16 verse 7 says this. He says, "Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth." Watch this. "It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come. If I go, I will send him to you." Let me read that to you again. "Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." Now, can you just imagine for a moment what the disciples would have thought when Jesus said that? Right, Jesus just died on the cross. He just rose from the grave. Certainly they would have been excited that he was back, that he was going to see them through for the next year, several years of their lives. How difficult it must have been, though, for Jesus to say these things. How could it benefit the disciples of Jesus for Jesus to say, "It is better for me to go"? Look at the last part of that verse again. Jesus says, if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. A question, who is that counselor? Who is that counselor? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. So in other words, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying it is better to have the Holy Spirit inside of you than Jesus beside you. Did you catch that? It is better to have the Holy Spirit inside of you than Jesus beside you. And church, let me remind you this morning that God has not left you in this crisis. If you have placed your faith in him, then he is with you right now as I speak. The Spirit of God is living inside of you. And as John 16, 7 says, he will act as your counselor. So when you are in times of trouble, the counselor will come to your aid. When you don't know what to do, the counselor will guide your paths. And as Isaiah 41, 10 says, we should not be fearful or afraid because God will help us in times of need. He has sent us his Spirit. He has sent us an advocate. He has sent us a counselor to live inside of us, to equip us to live not in fear, but to live fearlessly for him, through him. Church, we do not have to live in fear. We do not have to be fearful or be afraid because God is with us. He is for us. He will strengthen us. He will help us. And lastly, he promises to never let us go. God promises to hold on to us, even in times such as these. Look at our text one last time in verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." Think about this for a moment. The same hand that God used to form the world, it's the same hand that God promises to hold on to us with. The same hand that God used to form the world is the same hand that God promises to hold on to us with. And his grip on us, it never weakens. It never slips away. God promises to hold on to you. And what that means is that God will steady you. God will support you. If necessary, he will carry you. But most importantly, God is saying, "I will never let you go." And not only will he never let you go, but he'll fight for you too. Look at the next three verses in Isaiah 41, because I feel like they beautifully describe how God protects us from the enemy in times of trouble. Verse 11, "Be sure that all who are enraged against you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who contend with you will become as nothing and will perish. You will look for those who contend with you, but you will not find them. Those who war against you will become absolutely nothing, for I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand, who says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" You see that? God is protecting you. God is saying, "I will fight for you. I will wage war against your enemy." And he's saying all the time, all the while I'm doing this, "I'm never going to let you go. I'm going to hold on to you with my righteous right hand." That is the God we serve. That's the God we can depend on in times like these. So church, we don't have to live in fear right now. We don't have to be afraid. Even though the world seems to be crumbling all around us right now, God is still on His throne. And we are His beloved children. So do not be fearful or afraid, for God is with you. He is for you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. And He will never let you go. He'll never let you go. Rest in those promises today. I want to close our time this morning reading from probably my favorite chapter in all the Bible. It's found in Romans chapter 8. And not only is this chapter probably my favorite passage in all of Scripture, I feel like it's a passage of Scripture that we need to all be reminded of in times of uncertainty like we face today. Listen to these words in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. He says, "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you are being put to death all along, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Through Jesus, nothing will separate us from the love of God. He promises to be with us. He promises to help us in times of difficulty so that we do not have to be fearful or be afraid. So as we close our service this morning, I want to lead us in a time of guided prayer. I believe that there is power in prayer. And I believe that what this world needs right now is our prayers, focusing our hearts and minds on our Heavenly Father, asking that He would heal our nation and land. And while we may not be able to physically meet together in this room today, all of us can be united through prayer. So wherever you are this morning, would you just stop what you're doing? Whether you're here in the sanctuary helping with this service, or whether you're in your homes or in your cars or anywhere in between, would you just stop what you're doing right now? Would you just close your eyes? Would you just bow your head with me this morning? And I want us to spend some time in prayer. I want us to guide ourselves through seven ways that I think we can pray for our world during this difficult time. The first thing that I want you to pray for this morning is I want you to pray for the sick. Pray for the sick. Pray for those who are physically sick in their families. Pray that the Lord would heal and comfort them. Pray for the spiritually sick too. Pray for those who are lost, that they would encounter Christ during this difficult time. Would you pray for the sick right now? Secondly, would you pray for our healthcare workers? Would you pray for our healthcare workers? Pray for those on the front lines that are treating those who are sick. Pray that the Lord would strengthen them, that He would protect them during this time. Thirdly, pray for the vulnerable. Pray for the vulnerable. Pray for those who are especially vulnerable to this disease. Pray that this sickness would pass over them, that they would rely on others for help during this time. Fourthly, pray for the unemployed. Pray for the unemployed. Pray for those who have lost their jobs in this. Or maybe they've been laid off for a couple of weeks. Pray that God would provide for their financial needs. Pray that they would be able to financially support themselves and their families. Fifthly, pray for our leaders. Pray for our national and local government leaders. Pray that they would have wisdom, even godly wisdom, to do what is best for everyone right now in these days. Sixthly, pray for our students and families. Pray for our students and families. Pray for our students who are out of school and their families. Pray that the Lord would give them patience and would give them discipline during this time. Lastly, I ask that you pray for our churches today. Pray not only for this church, but for all the churches and the ministry leaders that oversee them. Pray that they would know how to best show the love of Christ to their towns and communities. Pray that they would look for ways to share the gospel with the lost during this difficult time. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of confusion and uncertain times, God, you are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. God, you are our Heavenly Father, and you've called us to not be fearful or afraid because you are with you. You are with us. You are for us. You will help us. You will strengthen us, and you will hold on to us during these times. So God, would you give us a confidence? Would you give us a peace? A confidence and peace that doesn't make sense. A confidence and peace that is supernatural. And God, we do pray for our nation. We pray for our world. God, we pray that you would heal our land. And God, we pray for all of the ones that we've mentioned today. God, we pray that we would be your light in a very dark world. So God, be with us, encourage us, bless us. God, help us to lean on you during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank all of you for joining us online this morning. It certainly is a different format than I know all of us are used to, but I truly do believe that this is a format that unifies us as a body of believers, and for that I'm thankful. Remember this, though, remember this, that we don't just go to church, we are the church. We don't just go to church, we are the church, and if anything, let the strange times that we live in today, let that remind us of that truth. And as Christians, we're not bound to a church building. We're not bound to a church building. Rather, we're called to be commissioned and to go out and to share the gospel with the lost. And I believe that we have a great opportunity to do just that. I also want you to know that while our church building may not be active right now, while it may not be full of people, this church is still operating at full capacities, and salaries and bills and other items still need to be paid. Furthermore, we want to honor the financial commitments that we've made to countless ministries that we've partnered with over the years. Ministries like the Union County Associational Office. Ministries like the Baptist Children's Village, Helping Hands, Blue Mountain and Northeast BSU, Global Outreach, and the Cooperative Program. We are the church that values the ministries and missions that we get to be a part of, but let us be reminded that all of that requires our diligence and commitment to give our tithes and offerings to these things. So while you not be able to put your offering in the offering plate like you're used to, I want you to know that there are four ways that you can give to our church during these times. First, you can give online at fredoniabaptist.com. You can look for our online giving button, and you can just click on that, and you'll find a way to do that there. You can mail in your check at 1616 County Road 86, New Albany, Mississippi, 38652. You can place your tithe in an envelope, and you can drop it in my drop box right outside my office. I'll be sure to check that every day and get that to our church treasurer, Mike Noble, so that he can safely deposit that into our church account. Speaking of Mike Nobles, you can also find him at B&A Bank right now in the main branch, and you can hand deliver your tithe and offering to him. I know that this might be a small inconvenience for you, and I understand that, but please remember that these tithes and offerings are vital for our church and the ministries that we support. So again, I want to thank you for tuning in to our worship service today. I hope it's encouraged you. I hope it's challenged you. I hope it's blessed you even in the midst of these difficult times. But please know that the deacons and myself, we are praying for you daily. We're praying for you daily. And please know that if there is anything that we could do for you during these times, please reach out to one of us and we would be glad to help. I also want to just remind you to be on the lookout on Facebook or other ways. We communicate things as we are meeting weekly to make decisions for our church. So be on the lookout for that. Church family, I want you to know that I love each and every one of you, and I can't wait to be with you again when all this passes. We serve a God that is bigger than all things that the world can throw of us. So let us have hope. Let us have peace during these unusual times, and let us be the light of Christ to the very dark world that we live in today. Would you pray with me as we close our time this morning? Father, I thank you again for your word. God, I thank you for your truth, God, that it would remind us that even when our mind begins to race and we become overwhelmed with anxiety, worry, fear, God, that we do not have to do those things. God, you have equipped us to handle this. And so, God, help us to just depend on you. God, help us to lean into you during these times. God, help us to continue to be the church, wherever we may be. Even if we can't gather in these four walls, God, help us to bless those that we come in contact with. God, help us to share the love of Christ with those that we might meet. And God, help us to live victoriously in you. In Jesus' name, amen.